This morning we gave you a handout. We're going to go through that a little bit on this morning, hopefully to open up your understanding, help you to better understand what is required of you. Now, we go over this a lot of times in the doctrinal class, and you hear it all the time about the importance of the name. The importance of the name, especially as it comes through baptism. Now, we as individuals, especially with all of this death that is going on because of this virus, have to understand what is more important in life. The things that we get in this life or connections that we make, relationships or whatever, things that we obtain, they're only temporal. Man is a threefold creature. He's body, soul, and he's also a spirit. The body is what Jesus formed Adam from, that dirt. Scripture declares that Jesus formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. When Jesus did that, that's where you see those that threefold being of the man. Body, the dust, the ground is what man was created from. Jesus breathed into Adam the breath of life that gave Adam a spirit, made his spirit aware or conscious, brought him into existence. And then the scripture says as a result of Jesus breathing into him the breath of life, then the scripture says Adam became a living soul. So that's why we say man is both threefold. He's body, soul, and he's also spirit. Now when Adam ate of that tree that Jesus told him not to eat of, Jesus told Adam in Genesis chapter number 2, I believe it is. If we go over there really quick. Genesis chapter number 2, and if you look at verse number 16 and 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, when you go over to chapter number 3, you see Eve begins to have a conversation with the devil. And the devil had got into that serpent. Now, Satan, people a lot of times want to think Satan is this red figure with a horns and a tail and a pitchfork and all this other kind of stuff. But Satan is a disembodied spirit. Satan is a spirit. And Satan is a spirit that is anti or against Jesus or against righteousness, against everything that Jesus stands for. Now, when that spirit entered into the serpent, that serpent began to communicate with Eve. And if you notice in chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the latter part of 3 and 1, it says the serpent began to say, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Verse number 3, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, we already read what Jesus said.
Right.
Jesus says, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt do what?
Surely die."
Surely die. Now, the woman, if you notice, her response to Satan was different from what Jesus said.
Right. Right.
So this is why we have to be very careful when we are reading and understanding what scriptures say. You can't go by what people say.
Right.
Because people will change up what Jesus said. Now, you already know, is clearly documented what the Lord said.
Right.
The Lord says, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt do what? Surely die. Now the woman wanted to add a little bit more to that. She said not to do what? Touch it. And we realize when we try to help Jesus do what he says, when we try to help his word, that's when we mess up. Because when she added that on to the word, it gave Satan a means to get into her mind and mess it up. Satan already knew touching that tree was not going to bring death. Touching the tree was not going to bring death. Because Jesus didn't say, don't touch it. Jesus said, do not do what? Eat of it. All right? Now, we notice that's why in verse number 4, you see the response that comes from the serpent. The serpent says, you shall not surely die. You're not going to die. Because God knows the day that you eat thereof, your eyes are going to be open. And you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. We already know you're going to know good and evil, because that's what the tree is of. The tree is of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus did not want man to know two different natures. He only wanted man to know good. Remember when the last thing that Jesus did during his creative work, he said everything was finished. He said, behold, it is good, both very good. Meaning everything was the way he wanted it to be. He did not want evil in his creation. All right? So when you see Eve make that statement, you should not surely die. The day that you, God knows that Eve says, we can't touch it, nor can we eat it. Satan says, or the serpent says, ye shall not surely die. Now, when you look at what Eve does in verse number 6, we're going to see how Satan, this is what you all Sunday school lesson was talking about temptation. How about you better be careful about fooling around with Satan? You got to be careful about having those communications with the devil, because the devil will manipulate what you say and use it to his advantage. All right? Now, notice what the woman says in verse number 6. And it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, which is not a mystery, because all the trees in the garden were good for food. Jesus said that every tree was good for food. And the scripture declares in verse number 6, the next part, it was pleasant to the eyes. Of course it was pleasant to the eyes. Jesus made every tree to be pleasant to the eye. It was all good for food, and it was all pleasant to your eyes. But then the next part, it says, and the tree desired to make one wise. Who is the one that told her she wasn't wise? She let that devil get in her mind. That devil got into her mind and said, God knows the day that you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. That was where she put wisdom. She defined wisdom as knowing the difference between good and evil. Now, that's not wisdom according to what Jesus would have us. Jesus said the wise thing would have been to leave that tree alone. The wise thing would have been for you to want life, to want to live. And if you know eating of that tree was going to bring you death, then that means you would leave that tree alone. You wouldn't go near that tree. Because you say the tree, even though it's look good for food, even though it's pleasant to the eyes, that tree is going to bring me death. Why? Because Jesus said so. Jesus said, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? Surely die. Jesus didn't say nothing about your eyes being open. Jesus didn't say nothing about knowing the difference between good and evil. Jesus said, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. All right? But you see, when that devil talked to her because of what she said, Jesus said, don't go and touch that tree and don't eat it also. Don't touch it lest you do what? Die. Now, Satan said, you won't die. Now, look at it. Look how he set it up. Look how he sets it up. He said, you won't die. He already put doubt in her mind. Because in her mind, she was doubting what Jesus said. He tried to make her think that Jesus was trying to hold something back from her. And you realize, what was the Lord trying to hold back from her? Death. He wasn't trying to hold back knowledge away from her. He had already given her knowledge. What knowledge did Jesus give her? The day that you eat the herb, thou shalt surely die. That's all the knowledge she needed. That's all that she needed to know. But in her, the set devil had to put in her mind, you'll know the difference between good and evil. Huh? And when you do that, you'll be like gods. So that woman, she went to look at that tree. She said it was a tree designed to make one wise. And you look at verse, that latter part in verse number 6, it says she took the fruit thereof. In other words, what she do? She touched it. She took the fruit, right? Hold on, here go my phone. Now remember, in her mind, she said if she touched it, is verse number 3, she said you should not eat of it, neither shall you do what? Touch it. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, do not eat of that tree. The day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? Surely die. But in her mind, she couldn't eat it, nor could she touch it. She said that if she ate it or touched it, she would do what? Surely die. Now, when she took that fruit, and what didn't happen? Death did not happen. She didn't die. What did that give value to? What the devil had done told her. The devil done told her, you won't die. Huh? See how the devil put that doubt inside the mind? You won't die. And in her mind, if she touched it and ate it, she would die. Now here she is touching that fruit, and she did not die. She made Satan out to be the truth. When the Lord done told you, he's a liar. Satan is a liar. I don't care how he presents himself. He's a liar. And he's also a murderer. He desires to kill, steal, and destroy you. That devil don't want you to get an understanding about who you are and what's really going to bring you death. He doesn't want you to get an understanding. He doesn't want you to get that solid in your mind. He doesn't want you to have, as we're going over in our Bible class, singleness of mind concerning this way of salvation. He wants your mind to be a little bit over here and a little bit over there. He wants to try to make holiness and salvation like a smorgasbord. Board. You know how you go to a smorgasbord, board, you can pick a little bit of what you want. And whatever you don't want, you leave it there. But that's not how Jesus lays it out. Jesus tells you specifically what to do. And he tells you why to do it. Huh? He told her, do not eat of that tree. The day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when she took that fruit, and then she ate that fruit, she also gave to her husband. And he did eat that fruit. And the scripture says, or if you look in verse number 7, what does it say? The eyes of them both were what? Huh? See how the devil will give you partial truths? He knew the day that you eat it, your eyes would be open. You're going to see life in a whole different way. What kind of way? They're going to see both good and evil. The knowledge of both what? Good and evil. She ate of that tree. The eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were what? They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover up their nakedness. You notice that in verse number 7. But look at verse number 25 in chapter 2. Look at verse number 25 in chapter number 2. The scripture says that both were already naked. Meaning before she ate that fruit, she was already naked. Huh? So that difference between when the difference, this is a difference, the night and day episode. The day episode is how you can be in a state or a condition and be right with Jesus. That's what the state of righteousness looks like. And there is no shame. Huh? Because according to verse number 2 and 25, they were already naked. Before they ate that fruit, they were already naked. And what did verse 25 say? They were not ashamed. They had nothing to be ashamed about. Because they didn't do anything wrong. They were in a righteous state. The Lord said, everything I made is good. So what does that devil want to interrupt? He wants to interrupt righteousness. He doesn't want righteousness to reign on the earth. He can't stand righteousness. That's why he tried to put people in front of you. To try to make you think that this is right. Oh, this is what righteousness is. And then when you put your hope and your trust in it, and then it fails you and lets you down, then you go through the earth and say, ain't nobody right. Ain't none of it worth it. All of them a bunch of crooks and scams and all this other kind of foolishness. But see, that's nobody but the devil putting that in front of you. Because he knows that if you get into Jesus, Jesus will change your nature. He will change your condition. He'll change your state. He'll take you to a point of life where you have nothing to be ashamed about, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
But that devil wants to get you to do things that Jesus is not pleased with. Because he knows the more you do it, the more you bring shame on yourself. Huh? That's the truth. Devil wants you to get out there and do stuff that he knows Jesus is not pleased with. Because he knows the more you get out there and do it, you have to walk around with your head hanging down. You ain't got no smile on your face no more. You ain't got no joy down inside of you no more. And why are you like that, Elder Scudder? Because you done something Jesus is not pleased with. You done went somewhere that you know Jesus is not pleased with. You done got yourself involved in something that you know Jesus is not pleased with. Therefore, you are ashamed. Not we, you. You are ashamed. Why? Because you did something Jesus told you not to do, right? That's the truth. You look at verse number 7, and then you see when you're in a shameful state, you try to cover yourself up. Those fig leaves, they didn't do the job good. Huh? They didn't do the job good. It covered up their shame from one another, but it didn't cover up their shame from Jesus. Huh? Come on, the fig leaves were good enough to cover up their shame from one another. Meaning you can go and hide somewhere. I can go somewhere and not go nowhere. Stay in the closet somewhere. Stay in the room somewhere. Stay in my home somewhere. And I don't have to see you. I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to answer your calls. Because I know when you start to talk to me, you're going to end up shaming me. But one person you cannot avoid is Jesus. You notice how they tried to hide from one another. And then when Jesus called out to them in verse number 10, verse number 9, look at verse number 8. Thank you, sister. Verse number 8, it says,
I heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden.
That's right. His word is walking in the earth, saints. Huh? The word of Jesus is walking in the earth. What is the word of Jesus saying? All of us are born in sin. There's none righteous. No, not one. Huh? Don't nobody want to hear nothing about that, Elder Scudder. Don't nobody want to hear about they're not right with Jesus. But that's not my word. That's the Lord's word. So, Elder Scudder, I'm going to go somewhere where the people don't tell me I'm born in sin. Well, you can go wherever you want to go. But you can't avoid the Lord's word. The Lord's word is embedded in your heart and in your mind. And it's calling you to repent. It's calling you to be right with him. It's trying to bring shame into you. Huh? The Lord's word is trying to bring shame into you. Trying to make you embarrassed. Trying to make you not content and settled in the condition that you in. Lord's word is trying to make you to the state that you say, Lord, I got to change. I can't stay like this. Because if I go to the left or to the right, front, back, your word is constantly calling me to change. It's constantly telling me I'm not right. Well, what's wrong with me? Ain't nothing wrong with the way I look. Ain't nothing wrong with the fact that I was born. But as the scripture says, my condition, it's my state. That I was born in the state or the condition of sin. And I've got to get rid of the sin, right?
Yes.
Got to get rid of that sin. It wasn't the fact that Adam and Eve existed that they were ashamed. It wasn't the fact that they were a man and she was a woman that brought them shame. Huh? It wasn't the fact that they were naked. Huh? That they were ashamed. They were ashamed because they sinned. Huh? They were ashamed because they did something Jesus told them not to do. Jesus emphatically said, do not eat from that tree. The day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Huh? Adam tried to hide behind the fact that he was naked. The Lord created created you naked. Huh? Lord know what he's doing. He made you different from one another. He made you naked, right? A male and a female, right? But that wasn't the shame. The shame wasn't the fact that you were naked. The shame was the fact that you did something Jesus told you not to do. You ate that tree and Jesus told you not to eat that tree. Jesus told you the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? Huh? That's the truth says. And when they ate that fruit, their eyes were open. They knew that they were naked. They tried to sew fig leaves together and cover up their nakedness. Then they heard the voice of Jesus. Heard the voice of Jesus walking in the garden. Huh? Why? Because the garden was a righteous. The garden was a righteous environment. Huh? The garden was holy. God, the garden was holy because the Lord's word was there. Huh? Do y'all understand that? The earth was holy because the Lord's word was there. The Lord says, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the earth bring forth seed after her kind. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water and in the midst of the skies. Huh? Come on, let the dry land appear. His word is holy. Everything about Jesus is holy. That's why when they sinned, his word was still walking in the earth. But his word got an interruption. Huh? It's like somebody tried to turn a deaf ear to the word of Jesus. And that's what people try to do with holiness. They try to turn a deaf ear to it. And it interrupts the program. Huh? It interrupts the Lord's word from moving freely. Huh? That's the truth, saints. That's why we try to tell you to stay away from certain things. Don't get yourself involved in certain things. Why? Because it's going to interrupt holiness. It's going to interrupt the holy word from flowing in your body. Huh? Don't you realize when you get the Holy Ghost, you got a holy word flowing into your body. Scripture says he comes into you and sucks with you. That means he comes and has a conversation with you. His word now becomes a part of who you are. You have received that word with meekness, and it has become engrafted into the very core of who you are. It affects your thinking, it affects your attitude, it affects your emotion. That word is all in you. That's why Jeremiah said, it's like fire in my bones. When the Holy Ghost comes in you, it's his word dwelling in you. Righteousness is from your head to your toe. It's all in your finger. But sin wants to interrupt it. Sin wants you to turn a deaf ear to a holy word, right? That's the truth. Sin tries to block your ears. A lot of folks don't want to hear what the Holy Word has to say. That's the truth. When the Holy Word done told you, you come forth out of your mother's womb speaking lies. You are the wicked from birth. Huh, nobody want to hear nothing like that. They too busy looking at that baby, talking about how pretty and how innocent that child is. Nah. Jesus said that child is born in sin. And instead of celebrating, you should be crying when they come into the world. That's what the scriptures say. You, instead of laughing and celebrating when they come into the earth, you should be mourning. You should be crying. Why do I need to cry, Lord, when you gave me a baby? Because that baby is born in sin. That baby is born separated from Jesus. And you realize if that child don't make up their mind and get saved, if that child don't accept the plan of salvation, they're going to go to hell. It's nothing to be celebrating about, right? That's the truth. Ain't nothing to celebrate because you see a child coming into the earth. And the Lord said you should be crying for them.
Right.
Crying for them how? You see them come forth out of their mother's womb. You see they're breathing. You see they got the activities of their limbs. You need to be crying out to Jesus. Lord Jesus, please have mercy on them. Give them a mind to be saved. Huh? That's the truth, saints. I don't care what child they are. You should be crying out to the Lord. Lord, give them a mind to be saved. Give them time to get their souls right. Huh? Come on, saints. You see too many people in the earth today that didn't nobody cry at them. Didn't nobody cry at them. Didn't nobody keep it before them. Did nobody keep the word of Jesus before them? Somebody tried to coach them and try to tell them, go on and do what you want to do. Go on and be who you want to be. Shake your hips. Do whatever you want to do. Be happy. Celebrate. No, this is not a day of celebration. This is a day to get your soul right with Jesus. Because it said that my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then they'll hear from heaven. The Lord said, I'll forgive their sins. I will heal their land. So this is not a time of celebration. This is a time to cry out to the Lord. This is a time to get your soul right with Jesus, right? That's the truth. You see that child come forth from his mother's womb? You should be saying to yourself, that child is the wicked. Huh? That child has no peace and no rest. Huh? They get to crying. Ah! Ah! You see the baby cry? You try to get a bite, baby, a bottle. The bottle don't do no good. Huh? You say, oh, what's wrong? He's colicky. He's colicky. He's got a condition. Now he's trying to let you know I'm wicked. And I'm not happy. You done brought me into this environment and I'm wicked. And I'm not happy. The Lord done told you there is no peace. Says my God to the wicked. The wicked are troubled. Huh? They like the troubled sea. Whose waters cast up nothing but mire and dirt. They are tossed to and fro. Huh? They have no peace. Huh? Come on, saints. That's why you look at this stuff. You see the television. You see the phones. All this stuff is trying to entertain your mind. It don't want you to deal with you. You cut all that stuff off. You put people in a room when ain't nothing there. They start to lose their mind. Huh? They can't handle it. Why? Because they got to deal with themselves. They realize there ain't no peace inside of me. Huh? I'm a miserable creature. And I want you to be miserable with me. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, right? Huh? There's no peace inside of them. Huh? The violence. They're filled with violence. Huh? They want you to look at themselves. They got vanity all flowing through them. They want you to say how good they are. Huh? Come on, they're puffed up, full of themselves. Huh? Walking around as though they're the most, to say the least. That's why, because they got people looking at them. But when ain't no eyes on them, when ain't nobody paying them no attention, they don't know what to do with themselves. They start to act like they have no mind. They try to start to act like they're out of control. And you should be saying to yourself, why is this? Because they are born in sin. Scripture told you, in sin did my mother conceive me. We are shaping in iniquity. Huh? We come here the wicked. We are in Adam's state or condition. Adam brought us death. Everyone after Adam is born in the likeness of death, right? Wherefore in Adam all die. Huh? Come on, that's scripture. In Adam all die. Come on, go over to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. And then somebody get Romans 3 and 23. Yes, all because of Adam. Adam brought us into sin. Nobody is exempt from that. Huh? You don't have enough money to pay your way out of sin. Huh? You can't expand your vocabulary enough to talk your way out of sin. Huh? Come on, it's still in you. Huh? It's still in you. Huh? I know people be saying, you should be reading. You need to study to make yourself a better person. Get all that knowledge. Get all that information in you. It still doesn't do nothing with your sin. You just an educated sinner. Huh? You just an educated sinner. The devil don't care how much education you get. Just don't get out of your sin. You think about all these people that are studying this virus. Everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got a philosophy. Everybody can tell you about how this virus affects your body. Everybody's got a stethoscope, a microscope, looking at this and looking at this to tell you all about the stuff that is in the air. Put a mask on. Wash your hands. But none of that takes care of sin. How do you understand that, saints? None of that takes care of sin. You can't wash your hands clean enough for sin. You can't use enough alcohol to burn sin out of you. Huh? You can't lay in the Son long enough to melt sin away. That might take care of this and take care of that, but it does not cure sin. The wage of sin is death, right? All of us come here in our sin. Do y'all understand that? Everybody is born in sin, right? That's what Romans 5 and 12 says. Wherefore, as by one man, one man is Adam. Adam brought sin into the world. And death. What did Adam bring? He didn't bring no life. Jesus gave you life. Adam brought you death. When he followed after that devil, he died. And as a result of him dying, everybody after him is born in death, right? He don't want to hear nothing like that. They don't want to hear nothing like that. They want to hear, Lord, I just want to say I'm sorry. Nah, honey, you got to deal with this thing. You are born in sin. If I don't give it to you the way the Lord said it, you'll go home thinking you all right. You'll go down to the corner thinking you all right. You say, I done gave the Lord my heart. I done prayed this prayer. I'm all right. But then all of a sudden, the real you comes out. A cuss word. A sliding eye. Crawling flesh. You start getting feelings that are out of your control. Why is it out of your control? Because you're born in sin. The devil wants you to stay in that nature because he knows as long as you stay in your sin, you will die. The wage of sin is death, right? The wage of it is death. Huh? Care how much you go to church? Care how many songs you sing? I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how many outfits you change into. You are born in sin. I don't care how many showers you take. I don't care how many vacations you go on. You can go to the northern, southern, eastern, western most point on the earth. You're still in your sin. You can get on a yacht. You can get in a submarine. You can get on an astronaut suit up there in space. I walked on the moon. I'm going to go spend my days in the space center. You're still in your sin. No matter where you go, because you are born, you are born in sin, right?
Yes, Jesus. Yes. Thank you.
That's the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wherefore, as by one man's sin, entered into the world. Come on. What's in the earth? Y'all understand that? Y'all understand this? Y'all don't be looking for no cure. Don't be looking for no cure from this virus. Don't be looking for gun control. Oh, we can control the guns. We can burn up all the guns. Somebody's still going to find a way to kill you. Look at Cain and Abel. There was not a gun in sight. But somebody still found a way to kill somebody. Why? Because they were born in sin. It's in your nature. Death is in your veins. You breathe it in. You deal with it all in your lungs. You breathe it out. Death. All day long. Death, right? Why? Because that's all that's in the night. Turn the television on. You ain't going to see nothing but death. You watch the weather channel. Nothing but death. I'm going to turn to nature. You see death. Nothing but death. Why? Who did it? Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, right? Therefore, death passed upon who?
All men. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
See why you ain't got no time to be playing no games?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Can't even, you go to Walmart. People done bought up everything. Yeah. The shelves are empty. Because they're trying to hide from death. If I give me a bigger TV, I don't have to die. Yes, you will. You still got to deal with death. If I buy me 3 or 4 cars, I won't have to deal with death. Yes, you do. You still got to deal with death. Why? You're born in it. You're born in it. You breathe it every day. You carry it around with you every day. The doctors ain't got the cure for it. You can listen to them doctors all you want. put you in the deepest dungeon. Throw away the key. Don't let you see the light of day no more. You're still in your sin. Huh? Put you on in a penthouse. Huh? Let you look down over the whole city. Say, yeah, surely I'm protected. I'm up here in the penthouse. I'm up living up in the sky. You're still in your sin. Huh? You're still in your sin. And the wage of sin is what? Huh? One day Jesus is going to say, time is up. Huh? One day the Lord is going to say, your clock is run out. Ding, 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 ding. Huh? Time to wake up. Huh? Time to wake up. What do you mean, Jesus? It's time for your heart to stop beating, and it's time for your soul to come out that body. Huh? When your soul comes out that body, where am I going? You're going to come before your maker, and he's going to look you over to see what did you do with the works of his hand. Huh? The Job says he's going to call, and you are going to answer. Huh? Come on, saints. I know we try to hold on to our loved ones, squeeze them a little bit harder, put them on a breathing machine, give them medicine, do whatever you got to do. Honey, there's nothing nobody can do. When the Lord calls, you've got to answer. You've got to get out of this body, and you've got to stand before a righteous judge who's going to judge you by the standard of righteousness. If you're in your sin, you're not ready.
Huh?
You in your sin, you ain't ready.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
You ain't ready to stand before no righteous judge. And you in your sin. Look at Adam. Was Adam ready? No. Lord called Adam by his name. Just like he's going to call each and every one of us. He's going to call us all by our name. And I don't care where you try to hide. There is no hiding place. Huh? If Adam could hide, he would still be right there. But Jesus found him out, right? Jesus found that fella.
Yeah.
And if Jesus found Adam, he gonna find you.
Huh?
You can change your address. You can change your telephone number. You can go get all the cosmetic surgery you want. Huh? It still don't change who you are. Huh? You can go add breasts where there were no breasts. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? You can go add, you can get your hair as long as you want to hit. You can switch as hard as you want to switch. Jesus said, I know who you are. I know who you are. All souls are mine. Do y'all understand that? I don't care what you call yourself. Joe or Jane. Your soul belongs to Jesus. And your soul is going to have to give an account for the things it has done in this body, right? Y'all understand that? He's done told you the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Thank you. Jesus. Hallelujah.
So you see why the devil wants you to stay in Adam's state. Huh?
Thank you, Lord.
Then let him stay in Adam's state a little while longer.
Thank you,
huh? Devil wants you to do that.
Thank you,
devil wants you to stop coming to a place like this. I'm telling you. I already know flat-footed.
Yeah.
People say, oh, it's so hard for me to get. I'm trying to say, I already know it's hard for you to get here.
Yeah.
Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
Do you all understand what is fighting against you?
Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
Do you understand what is trying to prevent something from happening inside of you? This is not no ordinary place. This ain't no place you just walk in and just feel good. No. We're going to work on your soul. We're going to deal with the real you. Huh? Forget about all the smiles. Forget about all the laughing. Forget about all the hee-haw. When it comes down to the nitty-gritty, we're going to take our gloves off. And we're going to say, we got to look at this. Where are you at? Huh? Oh, I'm a good person. I do this. Where are you at? Have you been born again? Born out of the water and of the Spirit. Have you got your sin taken care of?
Right.
Huh? Well, you don't understand. I went to my mama's church, my daddy's church, and my mama prayed, and my daddy prayed. My daddy was a deacon. I ain't got time to worry about that. That's a real good thing to say about your daddy. I'm happy. He was a good man. But where are you? Oh, my daddy and my mama, they laid hands on me. They prayed for me for a long time. That's good. I'm glad they prayed. I'm glad they were a spiritual person. But where are you? How were you born? Oh, I know the scripture says I was born in sin. What did you do to take care of your sin? Well, I went to church. Going to church don't take care of sin. Huh? Everybody understand that? Going to church does not take care of sin. I read my Bible every day. Reading your Bible every day does not take care of sin. I pray. Prayer does not take care of sin. Jesus did all of that, but he still had to take care of sin. How did he take care of sin, Elder Scudder? He got up on that cross. He suffered, bled, and died. He died to take care of sin. What do I have to do? You've got to die to take care of your sin, right? You've got to die. If Jesus died, you got to die. Huh? You and I have got to die. Huh? In other words, we got to bring me to an end. Huh? I have got to stop breathing. I have got to die to take care of my sin. How do you die, Elder Scudder? Hold on, let me hold my breath for a minute. No, they ain't going to do it. You can hold your breath for as long as you want. That's not going to do it. You got to associate yourself with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus represents in his name. His name represents the blood. What can wash away the sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You got to associate yourself with the blood of Jesus. The blood washes away your sin. All right, you said, why are you giving us this paper this morning? Because I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. You got to have the name of Jesus. I gave you all two checks, right? You got two checks right there. Now, if you say these are your checks. Huh? Everybody understand that? That check belongs to who? You. Now, I'm going to give you a task. I'm going to give you each $1,000. Huh? Yes. So I'm going to give you each $1,000. Yes. Right? Now I want you to go pay my bill with the $1,000 that I give you. Right. But you got to write a check for it. Right. Huh? Right. You need to put it in your bank. And you need to write a check for it. Right. Huh? I'm giving you what? $1,000. And the only way you're going to be able to pay my bill is with your check. Right. Huh? Yes. Now you go write that check out however you want to write it. Yeah, yeah. You can have it print. You can write it out with your pencil, your pen. Uh-huh. But that check will not cash until you put your name on it. Right. You see where it says authorized signature on there? Yeah. That means the only one that can take the money out that bank is you. Right. Huh? Yeah. And what must you put on that line? You must put your name on that line. Huh? You can't put what you are. You can't put woman. You can't put man. You can't put father. You can't put glorious son. You can't put that on that check. You need to put your name. Huh? What is your name? Huh? That's the only thing that will withdraw the money out of your bank and pay that debt. Huh? Well, what do you need to put on the check that will pay for your sin? The only name that will pay sin's price is the name of Jesus. Huh? That's the only name that will withdraw the blood out of the bank, right? Ain't no blood coming out no bank if you don't use no name. Huh? You can put all the many different titles you want about God. You can say, God, he's good. Heavenly Father, man upstairs, Mother Nature, wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Emmanuel. God said, that ain't my name. Huh? You ain't gonna get no blood out of my bank with that. You need to put my name on that check. What is your name? My name is Jesus. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. What? For he shall do what? Save him, right? You got to put God's name on that check. You can't put anything on that check. If you want the money to come out the bank, you got to put the name. And the money you need ain't gold. You don't need no silver. You don't need no dollar bills. You need some blood. I need some blood to cover me. So that when the death angel comes over, when Jesus said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, right? You need some blood to cover you, right? That's why that devil don't want you to get no name Jesus. But it's got out of been baptized. What did they say? Well, you know the same thing everybody else. Nah, brother. Nah, sister. You need to know what did they say. What did they say when you went down in that water? Well, I don't even remember. Well, your baptism is not valid. You need to know what they say. Come on, saints. Why, you just can't take this thing lightly. How about people say, well, Elder Scudder, y'all just don't be baptized and all that. No, no, no. We ain't going to just be running you down in no water all willy-nilly. You got to understand what you're doing. You're taking on the death of Jesus. Jesus took his time and died. Do y'all understand that? He took his time to get to Calvary. They ain't rush him up there overnight. No. They let him from judgment hall to judgment hall. We gonna take you from judgment hall to judgment hall. Are you sure you wanna be saved? Yeah, I'm sure. Next week. Are you sure this is what you wanna do? Yeah, I know I wanna. All right. A couple weeks later. You still got a made up mind to go down in the water? Well, yeah, I was just thinking, but I saw you over there the other day. Right. You were still hanging out with something, 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 something. Doing something, something, something. Yeah, I know, but you know we all, I'm trying to tell you, you don't want to go down in that pool. You want to make up your mind that this is what you want. Why do I want to make up my mind? Because this is what I want. Because it will either bless you or curse you. You don't want the blood of Jesus to curse you, do you? That's why Jesus said, before you take communion, to examine yourself. Examine myself for what? Lest you partake of the Lord's death within in vanity. Meaning you eat and drink that bread and that cup without considering the Lord what he did for you, right? Lord said, for this cause, many are sick. Many are weak. Many sleep. You don't want that on you. That's why we tell you, before you go down in that water, you better repent. That word repent means you turn your life around. You change your mind and you change your behavior. You better change the way you think. You gotta change the way you look at life. It ain't about all this stuff that you see. It's about you getting your soul right. Numero uno. Well, this kind of I got brother. Man, I'm trying to tell you, you ain't got time to worry about your family. You need to worry about your own soul. But what if your mother and your father don't want to be saved? Lord done told you save yourself. Mom and daddy gonna stand before Jesus by themselves. You better make sure you save, right? We all got loved ones we lost. Yeah, we do. And we all want them to be in that, as they always say, that better place. But at the end of the day, I don't care where they are. I'm trying to flat foot tell you, I don't care where they are. Because where they are might not be where you want to go. Y'all understand that? I know Elder Scudder, but I went to a funeral, and the man, I'm trying to tell you, when that person been went into eternity. You went to a funeral 5-6 days later, that soul been in eternity. When that soul stopped breathing at that moment, the Lord brought them into judgment with him.
Thank you, Jesus.
And where that soul spends eternity. What did the Lord tell that rich man? What did he do during his lifetime?
Right, that's right.
That Lazarus chose to eat, not lavish. The rich man chose to eat from the fine things. To be concerned about how he dressed. Dressed in fine linen, purple. Fared sumptuously. That was his choice. Moreover, Lazarus, he was just trying to avoid the dogs licking his sores. He just wanted the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. That's all he wanted. He just wanted enough to get by. He wasn't trying to be rich. He just wanted enough to do what? Get by. And that's just like you and I. We got to be careful. Charge those that would be rich. Don't be looking for no money. Don't be doing that. You're gonna mess your mind up. Be talking about how much money you can make. You're going to mess your mind up. You're going to forget what's more important. Them zeros in your bank account are not important. Because you die, somebody going to get that money. And it won't be you. Somebody, when you die, whatever's in your pocket, somebody's going to give us in your pocket. And it won't be you, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Obviously, there's more important things in life to be focusing on than what I shall wear and what I shall eat. And where I shall lay my head. At the end of the day, where will your soul be at? Thank the Lord, y'all in the church like this. I thank the Lord. I say everybody ain't like that. Everybody at church today somewhere listening about some Mother's Day messages. Oh, mama's this, mama's this, mama. I'm trying to tell you, I'm really not concerned about that. I am concerned about you, your soul. All of us have good mothers. Everybody got good mothers. But at the end of the day, I'm concerned about what? Your soul. Why? Because you the one sitting up under the sound of my voice. You the one brought your book, said, teach me, Elder Scudder. And I'm doing my best to show you what you need to worry about, right? You need to concern yourself with what? Your soul. Where is your soul going to be at when Jesus calls you? We say, oh, all y'all do when y'all come to church is be calling on Jesus. Because Jesus' name will save you. Jesus' name will deliver you. Ain't no other name going to help you. Scripture said there is no salvation in any other name. There's no other name under heaven. Where you at? Last I checked, you woke up under the heavens. There's no other name. Donald Trump might want to put his name on that stimulus check. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we what?
Must be saved.
So that means Donald Trump can't save you.
No.
Whoever finds the vaccine for this virus can't save you.
No.
Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
I don't care who these people are, they can't save you. One comes, another dies, another comes in. One virus comes, goes back out. Then another one comes in. You'll be losing your mind every 5 to 6 years. Be losing your mind. Worry about, I can't touch you. Don't you touch me. Fellas, I don't think we're going to have to change the way we do things in this country. We just got to stop shaking hands. I said, well, you think that that's crazy. So now you guys see, you're going to see people. And I'm going to tell you, folks going to go around saying, the man said stop shaking hands. I'm telling you right now, you can't shake my hand, fine. You know where you stand with me then. You trying to be that cautious, you can't say praise the Lord.
Amen.
You can't shake my hand, can't give me a hug.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Well, I don't want you to make me sick. You messing your mind up.
Right.
You forgetting what this is all about.
Right.
You better make sure your soul is right.
Right.
Sick or no sick. Brother Scudder, you what are you trying to tell? I'm not trying to tell you I want to make you sick. I'm not trying to do anything to make you sick. That's why we tell you to sanitize yourself. Put your sanitizer on, put disinfectant and all other kind of stuff on, because I don't want you to be sick. But I'm not going to tell you not to give me a hug or not to shake my hand and not to say praise the Lord to me. Why? Because that's what saints do. We embrace each other with love. We try to let the love of Jesus move from heart to heart and from breast to breast. I don't care what sickness is there. I don't care what it is. Someone could walk in this church with AIDS. Do I need to know it? No.
Right.
One of you all can have AIDS. I don't need to know that. I could care less.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm still going to shake your hand and say praise the Lord to you.
Right. That's right.
How are you doing, sir? Thank the Lord for you being here.
Right.
And move on about my business.
Right.
You got to keep living like that, saints.
Yes.
You don't let the world dictate to you how you live.
Right.
In Jesus we live, move, and have our being.
Right.
He is the reason why we exist.
Yes.
I believe that.
I believe.
Folks say all day long, you know, y'all crazy. Yes, I'm crazy. I believe what the word of God says.
Right.
You fool, yourself listening to them folk on that television. You realize you listen to ungodly people. Every last one of them folk is ungodly. Mess your mind up. You all don't even understand that the state of Pennsylvania has a fella that's born a man that dresses like a woman.
Jesus.
And you think I'm going to let him tell me what to do? The Lord done told you he's an abomination.
Jesus.
Well, let him tell me when I can come and go to church. He don't even believe in Jesus. These are the foolish things we listen to, saints. We don't even realize what is at stake. All while they're telling you to stay home and don't touch, do you all realize people are dying?
Yes.
And I mean they're dying. They die. They're leaving this earth. And they don't have no Jesus.
Right.
You don't think it's serious? I think that's serious.
Yeah.
Go wake them up. Go talk to them. If them folk could come back where they are, do you think they would tell you, it would have been better for me to stay home? Because if I didn't get this virus, I wouldn't be dead. I guarantee you, they would have said, it'd been better for me to get my soul right.
Jesus.
Virus or none, it would have been better for me to be in the church somewhere.
Right.
Calling on Jesus.
Right.
So that my soul wouldn't be in hell.
That's right.
They burning right now.
Yes, they are.
Y'all understand that?
Uh-huh.
Souls that do not have Jesus are burning right now. While you in here, enjoying the day, whatever we going to do today. He said, oh, I'm old. I'm old. Souls are burning in hell right now. While you eating your pork chop and anything else you're going to eat today. Y'all understand that? I'm going to tell you, this is serious business. While you enjoying this thing called life, somebody's soul is in hell. And you think they don't want to get out?
Oh, yeah. Can't get out.
But what do? They wasted something that you got. They wasted it. They wasted it. They just let it go right on by. Little fella, you hear people all on the internet talking about this little black boy that was jogging. Jogging down the street. Just jogging. Mind his business. Jogging in the neighborhood. People say, oh, it ain't fair. I'm trying to tell you all, you're missing the big picture. It doesn't matter whether them white guys went and shot him or not. At that day and at that moment, he was going to stop breathing. Elder Scott, life and death is in Jesus.
Right.
The only way you leave this earth is when the Lord calls you.
Yeah, that's right.
You can get shot 20 times and still not die.
Right. That's right.
So regardless of whether them guys shot him or they didn't shoot him, he was going to drop dead. Now, if the guys didn't shoot him, and he just dropped dead, do you think we would hear about it?
No.
You wouldn't hear nothing about it. His family would have said, oh, you know, this is happening to him. His heart stopped. We don't realize what happened to him. He just dropped dead in the street. They'd have a funeral and they'd go on about their merry way.
Right.
But the question is, where is his soul?
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord gave him X amount of years. To get his what? His soul right. I'm trying to help you understand. He gave him X amount of years to get his soul right. Well, the Scudder, that just ain't fair. You want to talk about fair, go talk to Adam. I'm not the one that brought you in this condition. Scripture done told you in Adam all die. This thing ain't fair. No, it ain't fair. It really is not fair. But at the end of the day, you can only work with what you got.
Yeah.
Me crying, talking about it ain't fair, ain't going to change the condition. Only one that can change the condition is the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
That's why we value his name. That's why we invoke the name of Jesus. That's why we encourage you, get up under the name of Jesus. Don't play with your soul. Get your soul up under the name of Jesus. Those that are up under the name, when you get up under there, what you need to do? Stay right there.
Right. Right.
Stay right up under that name. I don't care how much the devil tell you, come on. So much fun over here. So much, we having a good old time. No, you better stay right up under that name.
Yeah, right.
Lady had a birthday across the street the other day. And they just honker, and they make you look. That's how the devil do. He make you look. He make a whole bunch of noise. It's fun. They just out there, happy birthday. Then they got all in the street, happy birthday. Shaky. Get all down in the dummy, just getting it on down. And see, if you ain't in your right mind, you'll be right on out there. It's a birthday.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, who do you supposed to be representing?
Jesus.
Whether you shake your hips or just say happy birthday, still the same thing. See how the devil make you think, oh, I got to do all that because we're celebrating. Well, just tell them happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's enough. You shaking your hips ain't going to make the happy birthday any better than what it was.
Right.
Happy birthday. Thank the Lord. Lord bless you to see another day. Right? And keep right on going, right? Nah, but we got to celebrate. We got to drop it. It's on fire. Ah, you know, what's on fire is you done lost your mind. That's what's on fire. You trying to let me know you the wicked. And you don't know how to control yourself, right? Like, I'm out of control. I don't know what to do about it. Yeah, you was out of control. You lunatic, right? You were just a lunatic. That's the truth, sir. I'm done. I ain't going to hold you up. I didn't intend to hold y'all as long as I did. That's why I tell y'all all the time. I'd like to give y'all.